in the year 2020. Welcome to the Divided Kingdom radio program. This is the time of the singing of the birds. In the words of an old beloved hymn, "This is my Father's world. All nature sings, while around me rings the music of the spheres."
Though evil is, quote, off so strong, God is the ruler yet. While churches are closed and people are only allowed to go in grocery stores 6 feet apart, worship will have to be largely individual. Each of us can reflect upon the greatest mystery of all time, how God became man, sending his only beloved Son, Jesus, to die as a sacrifice for each of our sins. When each of us realizes, finally, fully, the unutterable agony our precious Savior suffered for us, how can we not repent and be filled with deep gratitude?
Jesus is our promise of sins forgiven and of eternal life when he saves us and we accept him as our Savior.
Tonight, Thursday, April 9th, is Passover, and the day before, Good Friday. You can hear us at WWCR.com on the Internet, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and on shortwave at WWCR, Thursdays at 8 p.m. on 4.840 megahertz, repeating Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. on 7.490 megahertz. You can also hear our program on Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, Mondays at 5 p.m., repeating at 11 p.m. Our newest venue is KStarTalkRadio.com. Hear us at KStarTalkRadio.com, Saturdays at 5 p.m., and Sundays at 10 a.m.
And we do like to thank Global Star Communications for bringing this program to you. Two huge spiritual conclaves, the satanic cadre of darkness and the living God of the Bible and his followers, are engaged in a monumental struggle. Evidence of this is the unexpected, shocking challenge of the coronavirus world pandemic. Tonight, first, let's examine the crushing darkness of evil, not only the deadly COVID itself, but the dark descent into an intended plot to institute medical tyranny. Lou, let's begin with what tyranny can mean to one ordinary, unsuspecting woman in America up against the forces of her own physical destruction and cover-up.
This is from WFTV.com, posted January the 19th, 2020. Woman becomes quadruple amputee after giving birth. Orlando, Florida. A Sanford mother says she will never be able to hold her newborn because an Orlando hospital performed a life-altering surgery. And she claims the hospital refuses to explain why they left her as a multiple amputee. The woman filed a complaint against Orlando Regent. The woman violate other patients' rights. Claudia Mejia gave birth 8.5 months ago at Orlando Regional South Seminole. She was transported to Orlando Regional Medical Center in Orlando, where her arms and legs were amputated. She was told she had streptococcus, a flesh-eating bacteria, and toxic shock syndrome, but no further explanation was given. The hospital, in a letter, wrote that if she wanted to find out exactly what happened, she would have to sue them. Quote, "I want to know what happened. I went to deliver my baby, and I came out like this," Mejia said. Mejia said after she gave birth to Matthew last spring, she was kept in the hospital with complications. 12 days after giving birth at Orlando Regional South Seminole Hospital, she was transported to Orlando Regional Medical Center, where she became a quadruple amputee. Now she cannot care for or hold her baby. "Yeah, I want to pick him up. He wants me to pick him up. I can't. I want to, but I can't," she said. "Woke up from surgery, and I had no arms and no legs. No one told me anything. My arms and legs were just gone."
Her 7-year-old son, Jorge, asks his mother over and over what happened to her. Neither she nor her husband has the answer. "I love her, so I'll always stick with her and take it a day at a time myself," said her husband, Tim Edwards. The couple wants to know how she caught streptococcus, during labor or after. She doesn't know. She knows she didn't leave the hospital the same. And why? I want to know why this happened, she said. Her attorney, Judy Hyman, wrote ORHS a letter saying, according to the Florida statute, the patient's right to know about Adverse Medical Incidents Act. The hospital must give her the records. When the statute is named Patient's Right to Know, I don't know how it could be clearer, Hyman said. The hospital's lawyers wrote back, Ms. Mayes, request may require legal resolution. In other words, according to their interpretation of the law, Maya has to sue them to get information about herself. That's the sticking point. The interpretation of the Patient's Right to Know Act, a constitutional amendment Florida voters passed a little more than a year ago. Maya's other attorney, E. Clay Parker, said the hospital is not following the law. We were forced to file this and ask a judge to interpret the constitutional amendment and do right, Parker said. Maya hopes the right thing is done. She said not knowing exactly what happened is unbearable. She only hopes she'll be able to soon answer her little boy's question, what happened? He told me every day, what happened? And I don't have any answers for that, she said. ORMC said Maya is requesting information on if there were other patients or someone on her floor with the streptococcus. They said if they release that to her, that would be a violation of other patients' rights.
Another listener sent us significant thoughts and information about the assault of the tyranny. Just one of his sentences, quote, the round earth is flattening. Big Brother is ensconced all about in the air, on the light poles, in their appliances and utilities, before their very eyes, recording verbatim, a very flat earth indeed.
And we would have to interject there that the furor about 5G is growing, and the social media is censoring people. In Britain are being taken off social media and off other venues if they talk about 5G. Some people we hear are revolting in physical ways against this terrible, terrible thing that has such horrifically bad effects on the body. And, of course, it will be a good surveillance tool in a medical tyranny state. And we invite you to go to our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Again, that's DividedKingdomRadio.com, and you can read my essay on 5G. There are a lot of other even better essays that we have reported on from NaturalNews.com about 5G. And if any of you would like to help us, we do thank about two people who have just helped us toward staying on the air the next month, and we are so grateful. One of them sent this important essay, this important newspaper article about the woman, the poor hapless woman we just read about. We must take a stand as Christians. We cannot sit in apathy waiting for the so-called rapture. We think we will be here. There's plenty of tribulation. And we know that Corrie ten Boom, that wonderful Christian who was imprisoned in Ravensbrück, did not believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. She thought it was a trick, and she hated the way the Chinese people who became Christians were feeling betrayed when they were not lifted up and taken away from tribulation and trouble. And we must keep praying for the Chinese people. We must always do that. So now, yes, if you would like to write to us and you would like to help us, we can't take checks written to us. We can only take checks written to WWCR. We can take money orders. We could take a little cash. Some postage stamps are always helpful to us. And the contact information is Lou, capital L-O-U, Caverly, capital C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, capital B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, 21609. Yes, listeners of the Divided Kingdom, the last 2 weeks heard our reports on a possible link between Wuhan's 5G and New York City's 5G. Now, you'll want to go into our archives. Look for that. And again, that is DividedKingdomRadio.com. And the extreme death spikes of the coronavirus. You see, these things may have played a role. If you missed this important info, again, visit DividedKingdomRadio.com. Yesterday, I heard Alex Jones say he would have to save his family in Austin from the prevalent 5G there. These neighborhood boxes, you see, are put just about 20 to 30 feet away from your head. This is death, and it would be a slow, terrible death if it comes to your neighborhood.
The neighborhood of New York City, April 5th, invaded by COVID-19's exponential terror curve, shows how the culture of death begins to dehumanize and turn people into callous robots. We saw this in totalitarian China's labels on cremation vans that read, "Animal Remains." Here was J.D. Hayes' report at naturalnews.com, April the 5th. Crematoriums in New York City are so overwhelmed with bodies of coronavirus victims, they are running 24/7, same as they were in China. The deadly effects of Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19, on the United States are looking a lot more like the epicenter of the pandemic, China. As the Wall Street Journal reported Friday, the volume of coronavirus deaths has gotten so high that regulators in New York City have authorized crematoriums to operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Before the new authorization, some crematorium operators were already working 16-hour days, the paper said, in order to process double and sometimes triple the number of bodies they normally do. In fact, a number of operators told the Wall Street Journal they are now booked a week in advance. The workload has become so intense that one crematorium operator had a macabre request for the public. Quote, "It would be good if everyone, for the public good, would explain to families not to go for a wooden casket." Richard Moylan, president of the Greenwood Cemetery, one of the four crematorium operators in the Big Apple, said. He said that cloth-covered caskets that are built using light wood or fiberboard burn faster than wooden caskets, thus making it easier for them to process more bodies on a daily basis. Quote, "It would be better if everyone just used a simple cardboard box," he said, the Wall Street Journal reported. The paper adds, funeral directors and crematories around New York City are struggling to service the spiraling number of deaths in the epicenter of the nation's coronavirus crisis. More than 1,560 people have died so far in the city after being infected by the disease. The deaths are straining services that cater to grieving families and the dead. Federal and local agencies have dispatched about 130 refrigerated trucks to serve as temporary morgues for hospitals around the state. The four crematoriums in New York City serve a population of about 8 million people. Before the regulators lifted some rules to allow them to operate 24/7, they were only open for about 10 hours a day. Currently, All Souls Cemetery, located at St. Michael's Cemetery in Queens, I should say All Souls Crematory, located at St. Michael's Crematory in Queens, schedules 24 cremations per day now, or triple the usual number of 8 or so just a few weeks back.
"It would be better if everyone just used a simple cardboard box," he said. "No, it would not be better to deny every human being was created by Almighty God in His own image. We are precious to the Lord. We are not garbage. Babies must not be aborted. Cuomo and Northam must turn back from celebrating being able to kill tiny abortion survivors. Lots of stuff, too, indicates the coronavirus bioweapon." Oops, we're so sorry we goofed. Elements make one ask, was this crisis allowed to worsen so that a FEMA big box store pharmacy drive-in site template could be set up for future mandatory vaccine administration? Here are some bullet points to ponder. Bill Gates Associated Institute for Health Metrics Statistics are higher than the real NY curve. Birx admits all deaths are classified COVID-19, even if other conditions applied. 1,800 fatalities a day. Dr. Anthony Fauci and Dr. Deborah Birx are connected with the Gates Foundation. Her daughter works for the Gates Foundation. Fauci received $1 million in just one grant from the Gates Foundation. Bill Gates' father headed Planned Parenthood, and his mother had close ties to IBM. Fauci called hydroxychloroquine's success against COVID-19 merely anecdotal. Gates appears to head the whole impetus toward what may become universal medical tyranny, forced COVID-19 vaccines, and perhaps other vaccines. Reports document Bill Gates owns an interest in Monsanto and that Monsanto owns McDonald's.
Thankfully, Elizabeth R. Ingram of Fox's The Ingram Angle early on highlighted a doctor's use of hydroxychloroquine. Let me say that again, hydroxychloroquine.
Queen, I think. Chloroquine.
Queen, yes. I've heard it both ways, yeah?
Yes, I think, too. It is both ways.
Then, even when the fake mainstream media ridiculed and demonized its use, Ingram and later President Trump persisted. This really shows what the population callers intend, the murder of enough people, not letting them have things to
cure them.
To cure them
to
and
heal
to heal
them. Yeah, that's true, isn't it?
Yeah. Until our controllers can implement the Georgia Guidestone ideal, keep the U.S. population in balance at 500 million. In fact, local news covered that Dr. Anthony Dr. Anthony Cardillo.
Oh, there is a difference here, Lou.
Oh, big difference.
Dr. Anthony Cardillo, I believe it is. Or Cardillo? I'm not sure how he would pronounce that.
I'm not sure either.
Yeah, and where was he? Los Angeles?
He was in Los Angeles, and he has prescribed hydroxychloroquine used with zinc with 100% success in COVID-19 patients. Cardillo claims that zinc must be used, too. According to Cardillo, the hydroxychloroquine opens the cells where the zinc can go in. Within 8 to 12 hours, his patients were much more well. He saw when people took hydroxychloroquine alone, it didn't have the same efficacy.
And you know what? You are absolutely right. It is hydroxychloroquine.
Is it?
Yes, I can hear that in a better way now. I'm sure that that is the preferred one. The MSM powers that be tried to censor and shut up Ingram, Hannity, and Carlson about hydroxychloroquine, but eventually 6,200 or 6,300 doctors were using it. In fact, one of the most exciting moments was on Fox's Tucker Carlson Tuesday, Tucker Carlson Tonight program, Tuesday, April 7th, when Dr. Mark Siegel told Carlson that there was a story he had to share about hydroxy's saving of a 97-year-old man. Siegel told the story, and then he added, "My father." That was really something, Lou.
Yes, that was a very, very, very impressive. Really made that sink in. Yes, Elizabeth, you wrote a letter to the editor some time ago that showed this intent to cover up. Let me quote from it. Politician Rahm Emanuel once bragged, "We never let a good crisis go to waste." This is the deep state's ongoing modus operandi. Is there a plan to have the coronavirus become a pandemic to usher in global tyranny? Most urgent to each and every one of us right now is the issue of the spreading COVID-19 virus. Is there once again a coalition with a hidden agenda to, quote, let it happen, unquote, and plunge the world economy to create a climate of fear and control? Consider the following facts. Months later, celebrated by the UN in New York, October 18, 2019, the World Military Games with the UN and other countries, the U.S. sent 300 soldiers, held a mock-up world pandemic drill. Where? In Wuhan, China. Chinese soldiers participating? Two, wore the blue UN helmets. Fox News' Dr. Mark Siegel reported in from Dulles Airport Monday, February the 24th, that customs and border agents told him two flights from Japan and South Korea had arrived that day with little or no screening of passengers taking place. And also that very day, a flight was going to New York City, then on to China. The CDC actively discouraged the states from testing for coronavirus. As of the end of the week of February 29th, the CDC had tested only a few more than 200 people for the COVID-19 in a country of 300 million.
I have to interject. Looking back, that's astounding, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Now that we see the huge figures.
Oh, yes.
Go ahead, Lou.
A recent Tucker Carlson Tonight report revealed that young American students brought back from overseas studying Italy were not even tested as they arrived in America.
Yes, they called the CDC. You know, they felt very conscientious. They asked, what should we do? And they just were told, you just go on home.
Yep. And here's another eye-opener excerpt from a very recent listener's letter. Quote, what a stupid move on the owner of the New England Patriots, sending the team's jet to China to get millions in face masks. Kill us with kindness in COVID-19 contagion. Hope Massachusetts will do decontamination. Other states have been threatening coming into Maine. No EMP needed to destroy us as a country with germ warfare. And the listener adds, looking forward to your shortwave 4.840 broadcast tonight.
And then, Lou, that's all you have, isn't it?
I believe.
Yes, there are more strange anomalies, Lou. April 2nd, Mayor de Blasio was encouraging people to get out and around town. My goodness, that was a strange one, wasn't it?
Yes.
The Dems hold up of the stimulus package. Was it so that more Americans could be evicted, more businesses fail, and even more suicides provoked? The template of the New Rochelle lockdown was a political slant that, quote, this is not so draconian because we need the National Guard to clean schools, etc. March the 11th, Dr. Fauci's strong-arming pro-continued mitigation statement telling Congress things will get worse if we're complacent. $8.3 billion funding to the CDC for vaccines. Telling Americans not to use masks, then finally telling people to tie scarves over the face. This to me looks like the elite laughing in our covered faces. The courage of the Florida Emergency Management Director who exposed 3M's treasonous mask shipments to foreign nations while refusing even to take cash from that Florida EM director. When they would take cash from foreign governments, anyone say multinational treason sellout? Thankfully, Tucker Carlson interviewed the man, and the White House had to respond, changing former platitudes of big business worship. March 17th, Mnuchin's hope we're looking at sending checks within 2 weeks. It's April the 9th. Did you check your mailbox, your bank account? Ours is still empty.
Yes, and here's more. Late March, Reuters reports some patients who do make antibodies can still shed the virus. TV's Dr. Oz referred to data that showed some people shed the virus 37 days later. Dr. Oz had reservations about using an antibody test to send people right back to work. Oz decried the false stories about, quote, do not resuscitate, unquote. But he said the real problems are still the doctors and nurses not having adequate equipment. We've seen, too, how many New York Police Department officers have fallen ill. What better plan to weaken America than to incapacitate our first-line health, police, and military? We think it's a travesty. The commander of the SS Theodore Roosevelt was relieved of his command for trying to save the lives of his men. But, yes, the plan is to weaken, to kill, to destroy America.
Yes, we think Crozier, Commander Crozier, was a hero. And this is not just, it's not just to have him be vilified. CNN and MSNBC, what about them?
Yes, CNN and MSNBC refused to carry the president and vice president their talks concerning the coronavirus conferences.
And the conferences themselves.
Yes.
You know, we just can't imagine this in America. Go ahead.
April 1st, three key points covered on Fox's Shannon Bream late-night news program. One, new resurgence of corona. Two, lockdowns. Three,
I think it's an amazingly quick vaccine race.
Yes, that's right.
Because, you know, we have these talking points, and even some very good commentators are given these things, and, you know, we're just looking forward to that amazingly quick vaccine. It'll be put out maybe before all the safety precautions are part of it. And then also we have the warning of Dr. Nick Begich, March 27th on InfoWars. And this was just as Alex Jones was taken off a Google app for talking about hydroxychloroquine. Nick Begich recounted how Alaska was one of the worst, if not the worst, recipients of the 1918 Spanish flu. And he worked some decades back with Native American tribes in Alaska. And the long memory was that the tribes feared the white men, whom they blamed for bringing in that virus, which Nick Begich says they did. All around the world, and this is a quote from Nick, I see the same control grid coming in. He had spoken to people in Israel and other countries lately. The lockdown is everywhere. And he warns that when the cashless digital economy comes, your every move will be tracked, every transaction. And he admonished us not to fear, that we can take care of each other. And he used his example, shattered at age 14 when his father's death occurred. And we recall that was a mysterious kind of plane crash. I think the bodies were never found. Isn't that right?
I believe that's correct.
And, yes, of course, his father was a congressman doing incorrect political moves at that time, I'm sure. So Nick says, I became another person building up my strength. And now I think we move on a little bit.
Yes.
Let me see.
I believe I have something to reflect back on. We're going to look back now at an article written by Mike Adams that appeared on March the 3rd at naturalnews.com. It was entitled, Here's What's Coming for America as the Coronavirus Spreads. City-scale quarantines, overrun hospitals, domestic flight lockdowns, and medical martial law. Now keep in the back of your mind, this was on March the 3rd. Just a little over a month ago. We'll see how some of those things have come about. Now that the CDC has invoked its, quote, rule by secrecy, quote, mode, by hiding coronavirus testing numbers in order to deceive America, while it quietly seeds infected people into the population, it's abundantly obvious that the coronavirus outbreak in America is going to be used to invoke medical martial law.
And I think let's stop right there and let's move back to a few more of these bullet points that show us a strong suspicion, at least they give us, that some of these things were planned to happen. And here's another point. One strike against ultimate vaccine medical tyranny with the UN medical specialists concerned. Oh, you know what? I think that this page is more of the hopeful things. Let's go right back to where you were, the threat of the medical tyranny. Let's pick that up again with Mike's article.
Yes, in fact, I'm going to interject a few comments before I go on with Mike. Even though Los Angeles Mayor Garzetti, declared martial law with no one allowed to leave home for any reason, this is only leftist blue
cities,
and not all of America. Yet, disgustingly, the mayor of L.A. offered to pay snitches on people who disobeyed lockdowns.
And I added that little sentence for Lou right before we went on the air because it suddenly came to my memory that not only had he done this lockdown, but he made this kind of a bribe to people to turn everybody else in.
And if you heard him say that, some of you may have, he said it in a way that I thought was especially disgusting, as if he was very pleased with the whole idea. And another thing I want to check, very disquieting, is the use in Kentucky of ankle monitors of people refusing to quarantine. Now back to Mike. There are already thousands of infections across America which have not yet been tested. That's still true to this day. All by design, of course, as the CDC withheld testing kits from hospitals and local health officials across the country. By our best estimates, there are currently between 5,000 and 10,000 infections in America, mostly along the West Coast, Seattle and Northern California, with new outbreaks taking place in New York, Miami, Chicago, and other major cities. And, of course, we know now, what Mike didn't know then, that New York is the worst hit of the whole country. Going on with Mike, right now, domestic air travel is spreading the virus like crazy, since it spreads during the asymptomatic phase when people don't even know they're infected. There is currently no screening of domestic air travelers, and no domestic flight routes have been locked down, although that's coming soon. And I will interject, yes, we saw eventually closures to the United Kingdom and Ireland. And Mike says, importantly, the coronavirus has already broken containment in America and is now impossible to contain. It will impact every major city in America. Here are a few of my predictions for where we're going with this. So buckle up and get ready, because the coronavirus is coming to a city near you.
And again, what date was Mike's article?
This was, I believe, March the 3rd.
So you see, we're past it more than a month now.
Yes, more than a month ago. Okay, Mike's Adams point number one. Hospitals will be overrun in regions of America, as the exponential growth rates cause an explosion in infection cases. Hospital beds that can handle biocontainment demands will quickly be filled. We are close to that condition at this very moment. And I'll interject. Well, what we got was a scarcity of PPEs. There were even reports of few people in some hospitals. So that didn't exactly come true, although some parts of it were true. Mike's number two, entire cities in America will be placed under quarantine lockdown status. This may take a while to be fully recognized and declared, but it will occur. Once you are caught in a quarantine, you will not be allowed to leave for fear that you might spread the disease to other cities. I will interject. We've certainly seen the TV footage of deserted Los Angeles, empty New York City streets, from night to night. This conscious or unconscious conditioning of loneliness and imposed isolation affects our viewing minds. Three, school closures will become a commonplace. This is already beginning to occur, and the practice will rapidly spread. And I'll interject, distance learning is a new term. Will it recur if COVID-19 returns in the fall? Some Christian families already raise worries. The mark of the beast. To this change in the learning venue in some Christian schools, people are beginning to get really worried about that possibility among the Christian population. Number four from Mike, over the coming week, there will be tens of infections confirmed in America. By the end of this week, Sunday night, we should expect somewhere around 100 new cases having been confirmed this week. And Mike's number five, within 30 days, if lab testing is allowed to take place, you will see hundreds of coronavirus infections confirmed in America. Watch for cases to jump to 200, then 500, and so on. If the testing is allowed to take place, this is inevitable. Well, we have some figures in now we can compare this to. I have figures here for deaths, a little more dramatic than Mike's original figures. So let's check a few dates out. 3 days after Mike's article.
And again, tell us what he predicted. Did he predict?
He did not predict actual deaths, but if we look at his numbers.
The cases.
He says, watch for cases to jump to 200, then 500.
And what about in June? Didn't he say something about in June?
Yes, and that's coming up in just
couple. I didn't want to anticipate
minutes.
You there.
That's
yes,
all
go
right.
Ahead.
Well, on March 6th, there were 17 deaths. Doesn't sound like much, does it? 9 days later, March 15th, it was up to 60. Still pretty conservative. March 22nd, now it's up to 400. March 30th, it's risen to 2,945. April 7th, it was 9,648. So Mike was talking about just 500 cases, but now the deaths alone are 9,648.
And this is a little bit like your explanation on an earlier program about the bacteria. Maybe you just briefly tell that again.
Yes, if you remember from your biology classes in high school, you know, you can start with one bacteria, and if the conditions are ideal for it to grow.
No, I will correct you. You corrected me on hydroxychloroquine.
I bet you I know what.
Yes.
Bacterium. That's right.
That's right.
Singular.
That's singular.
But after a while, it'll divide in half. Maybe, let's just say for the sake of argument, after an hour, it becomes two. After 2 hours, four. And it keeps doubling. And I don't have the figures in front of me, but by just 24 hours, you wouldn't think it would be that big. But it's an astronomical number, I think somewhere up in the millions.
And you told how your students were given a choice by you whether to just take, what, $10,000 or whether
they would. I would give them, well, I wouldn't do it, I don't have the money. But if you could find some rich man who would do it, you can say, well, the first day of the month, I'll give you a penny. Second day, 2 pennies. Third day, 4 pennies. And so on, doubling it every day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that seems so conservative. At the end of the week, I think you read maybe, well, it'd be 2 to the 7th power in pennies, which I believe is 128 pennies, or $1.28. Well, that doesn't sound very impressive. But if you keep on going, you'll have well over $1 million by the end of the month. So that's definitely the way to go. And that illustrates this exponential growth. Both of those, the bacteria and the money, are examples of what you call exponential growth.
And that's what we have, don't
exactly,
we?
Exactly, yes.
With the coronavirus.
Now we'll get back to Mike's number... 6. He says, within 90 days. Now, remember, this was March 3rd, so we're talking roughly April, May, June, roughly June 3rd. If the labs are legitimately trying to test everyone they can, you will see thousands of coronavirus infections confirmed in America. By June, in other words, there will be thousands of confirmed infections and possibly over 10,000 by that time. Well, here Mike greatly underestimated. He thought he was giving big numbers, but in reality, the real numbers are much bigger than that.
What are the stats right now?
Well, on April 8th, there were close to, not 10,000, as Mike had said, but 400,000 cases. In fact,
wow.
As of today, when we broadcast, I would bet it's well over 400,000. And almost 13,000 deaths. So Mike was saying 10,000 cases, just the deaths alone, are above that. And I think, Elizabeth, you had something you wanted to say about that.
I'm not sure what I wanted to say about that. Do you recall?
No, I think about Dr. Boyle, perhaps.
Oh, you know, we've underestimated how this thing is carried. You know, a lot of people have said that, you know, you just wash your hands and you sanitize everything, and if you're at the grocery store, you sanitize the cart, you sanitize your hands before you get back in your car, as if they're ignoring the atmospheric element in this. Dr. Francis Boyle gave an interview on InfoWars Wednesday, April the 1st, and he said that, and we have to really situate him again. He was the author of the Bioweapons Convention Treaty under H.W. Bush, and it was adopted by the U.N. So he really knows what he's speaking of when he talks about bioweaponry. And he said that Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci were assuming that COVID-19 is analogous to the flu. And he says this bioweapon leaked out of their BSL-4 lab in Wuhan from China, and this is far more dangerous and infectious than the flu. And he says that 6 feet away is a flu guideline, but not for COVID-19. And there was an MIT professor, Liu, who said that the COVID-19 could go about 21 feet. And later, I think Dr. Fauci smirked at this. But Boyle says he said all along that it's 12 feet, at least, because it has this gain-of-function element. Remember, we heard about the Indian eminent scientists who found, they said, HIV elements and SARS elements built in to this coronavirus. And then, of course, they were pretty much hushed up, taken off the social media. And so this gain of function, he thinks, could be as much as 12 feet. He had thought at least 8 to 9 feet. And he says, this is very interesting, it floats on the air, not just in droplets. The being there, you see, it floats. Fauci snorted at the MIT professor, and of course Boyle says that Fauci has been involved in some nefarious similar types of things. Boyle says that info about Wuhan, HIV, SARS, etc., it's just so important. And so I think it's very important that we realize one of the ways this thing has really spread is through the air. And so social distancing does make sense, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. It certainly does. Well, going on with Mike's discussion is point number 7. Alyssa is a miracle intervention. Eventually, the number of coronavirus infections confirmed in America will exceed 100,000. Well, a minute ago, we said now it's above 400,000. This is mathematically inevitable, especially with the widespread negligence, incompetence, and even criminal maliciousness of federal agencies that are right now telling Americans to not prepare. The federal government, of course, may never allow these numbers to see the light of day. Well, actually it has, since the CDC and the Trump administration now appear to be modeling their responses after communist China.
Oh, yes, we would have to let these numbers see the light of day, because that way we can develop the lockdowns even more in a draconian style in even the states that hardly have any numbers, because the goal is this future conditioning of us all that we're going to be willing to submit to this medical tyranny.
That's exactly right. Number 8 on Mike's list, restrictions on domestic air travel, armed highway checkpoints. Once the quarantines begin, you will see armed roadside checkpoints and domestic air travel restrictions put in place. America will become a medical police state.
And I don't know whether this is the place that we want to insert this or not, but there was a woman in Pennsylvania driving by herself who was arrested. So, you see, this does look closer and closer to where we'll have these restrictions where you can't go from one state to another. I think there were a couple states who were starting this. I can't quote which states there were doing
yes.
this, but you remember we read something, there was this thinking that people could only go across the states, not for very many reasons. Let's put it that way.
Yes, I think one of the southern states, might have been Florida, but I'm not sure, was stopping people. Now, they weren't turning them back, but I think they were advising them, you know, if they had any kind of symptoms at all, to have a voluntary 14-day quarantine.
So it's kind of a mission creep, isn't it?
It is. I think that's exactly right. And in, let me see now. We were up to, I believe, number 9, which kind of ties in with number 8. Forced vaccines and show me your papers, police state protocols. Eventually, once the vaccine is rolled out, you will see calls for mandatory vaccines and restrictions on human rights for people who are not vaccinated. No right to hold a job, no right to travel on public transportation, no right to be a parent, etc. Prepare to be required to carry proof that you've been vaccinated. Show me your papers.
And of course, the American people do not have to accept that. They certainly do not, and they can stand up for their rights, which is what all of us should do.
Absolutely. You're so right. Dr. Fauci, in one of his statements, said, we have to wait to reopen our country till the very last person is no longer sick with COVID, which, of course, is an impossibility, practically. And number 10, the near collapse of entire cities into lawlessness and chaos. Only, and this is our comment, only to a degree has this happened. The release of criminals from prisons who are at risk for coronavirus, COVID-19. This has not yet descended to anarchy in a large scale, but we all know that it could. It's just a matter of time if this sort of thing is allowed to take place on a big scale. And Mike's closing comments. It's criminal. When the Surgeon General tells you to stop buying masks because they don't work, and then says hospital staffers need all those masks because they do work, you know he's lying. Get prepared with gear or get ready to die. That about sums it up. And that's still a key warning, even a little more than a month later after this was first published.
Yes, there's a lot of valuable information coming out. And now we have heard that Dr. Daniel Wallace, and he's the head of the Lupus Foundation of America, that he has treated something like 2,400 patients over 43 years, and using hydroxychloroquine, he never had to have one hospitalization or one death from that. So this does seem to show the medicine is extremely safe. And now there are more reports, too, from some medical people that zinc is just a very important nutrient, and that possibly the hydroxychloroquine goes in and opens up the cell so that the zinc can do its work. And we've heard that people need to have zinc in their systems before they are given this medicine, the hydroxychloroquine, or it really doesn't work as beneficially. So these things are important. It's very important that you have vitamin C and vitamin D in your system. Very, very important, along with taking zinc. We're not doctors, but we do have some common sense. And this idea there, Lou, that we're thinking about this virus floating in the air, and that it's not so much contacting surfaces as breathing these droplets that by the gain of function can go maybe 12 feet, maybe more. And again, I'm looking at March 12th Natural News article, and this was from the Chinese Medical Journal that warned the killer virus could be airborne. And this article was by Stephen Stanford, republished from allnewspipeline.com. We'll get a little bit of this. The first study finding that coronavirus can go airborne and be spread without contact with another person's saliva, bodily fluids, or sneezes, as had originally been reported as the main avenues of transmission, should this study be correct and the virus actually live in the air for any period of time at all. Any mass transit, large gatherings of people, such as concerts, recitals, political rallies, or even places where lots of people go, such as grocery stores, could be places where this virus lives in the air. Should someone who unknowingly has it and hasn't quarantined themselves be there shedding it to others? With the CPAC convention in Prince George's County, Maryland, the perfect example of how people may be exposed to the virus without even knowing they're in any danger, with now at least five congresspeople self-quarantining. We don't know. That may be higher now, Lou. Have you heard anything?
Yeah, I haven't heard much about that lately.
After coming in contact with a New Jersey resident at CPAC who already had the disease without knowing it at the time, how many more people who may have worked that convention as waiters or waitresses or busboys or hotel clerks or cleaning people may also have been exposed and now be contagious to pass it on to others unknowingly through their jobs as service people to the public. And while we'd absolutely hate to see medical martial law be imposed upon the entire nation, as we're now witnessing in Italy in an attempt to prevent the further spread of the killer disease, as Mike Adams reported in the March 10th story over at Natural News, that may one day become the only option left. It may soon be time for President Trump to put a temporary stop to mass travel, though in doing that, he'd immediately become a target for the left, who'd surely say he's acting like a dictator. So while we'll continue to pray that it never comes to medical martial law in America, with hospitals being told to stockpile body bags, New York deploying the National Guard and quarantining an entire region, and now the Democrat governor of the state of Washington preparing a major crackdown, we'd best prepare ourselves as if the virus will soon be everywhere, as infectious disease specialist Tony Fauci has recently warned. Okay, so now we know what has happened since that person wrote that, everything there, but we have a Daily Mail story that says, a man infected with coronavirus spread the virus to nine other people on his bus, raising fears the killer infection can jump between people far easier than initially thought in confined places. A study found two victims sitting 4.5 meters, that's 14.7 feet, away from the man were later diagnosed, which is four times what is considered a safe distance to stand near a COVID-19 patient. Countries including Italy and the UK have implemented 1 to 2 meter distancing between people to limit outbreaks. The virus has been thought to spread via cough or sneeze droplets, but the study found germs can linger in the air for long periods of time. So I think that's very important that we brought this article up again. And I think now We are going to move toward the light that is emerging, exposing the darkness. At the beginning of our program, we talked about the two forces, the satanic cadre of people who want to destroy America, want to kill babies with abortion, want to cull the population, the eugenicists, all of this culture of death, versus the people who believe in Almighty God and who have many in that group are Christians, and they believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I am one of those, and I believe that He died for my sins and that I will have eternal life with Him because I repented and accepted Him. So now, the truth tellers who are on God's side, some of them are beginning to expose some darkness, and some of the darkness God is exposing. Number one, CBS was caught showing footage, ostensibly from New York, when it was in truth from Italy. After both CBS and the Fox Business Network showed it, Fox News then rectified the situation by exposing CBS. A Pentagon Army colonel has come out reaffirming that because of his own involvement in biochemical warfare, he has surety that COVID-19 is a bioweapon. And by extrapolation, why are some recovered people testing positive again? Number three, Governor Cuomo reported April 6th that the total ICU, hospitalization, and intubation numbers were down, suggesting a flattening of the coronavirus curve in New York. Hoorah, we hope that's the case. A WHO, World Health Organization, official revealed the true sinister nature of operations when the official said, "We may have to come into a house and take out a person who is infected." Ooh, doesn't that give you a shudder, Lou?
Oh, yes, yes. That sounds like something in Nazi Germany.
Oh, yes, it does. The Gestapo at Anita Dittmann's door after she had the dream that her mother was leaving on a ship. The dream certainly came true. We need prayers for UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson. Was his serious COVID case somehow, quote, facilitated? Brexit just doesn't fit in with the CBS and NBC April 18th special broadcast coming up called One World at Home. They could have called it alternatively Love Your Lockdown. And six, one strike against ultimate vaccine medical tyranny with the UN medical specialist concerns. One said, if you could avoid using an adjuvant, you should when making a vaccine. Another commented how adjuvants increase immunotoxicity. One woman doctor summed it up well. We have a wobbly front line of specialists that is beginning to question the safety of vaccines. Denmark will open schools and daycare around April 13th. Austria, too, is getting ready to open. 8. Pat Buchanan's warning that a prolonged shutdown could, quote, change the character of the country and the course of the republic. 9. Wuhan opening the first since January 23rd. 10. A growing number want to stop U.S. money going to the WHO until Tedros is fired. 11. Small business loans are thankfully ramping up. A report of $70 billion of banking business in 2 days is very encouraging. I think that was the loans to the small businesses. And that's very recent. We heard that. 12. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy reports his hope the Cures Act bailout will add another $250 billion. And then, of course, this report about Dr. Daniel Wallace, the head of the Lupus Association of America, again, caring for over 2,000 lupus patients in practice for over 43 years, has not had a death or even a hospitalization from hydroxychloroquine's effects. And President Trump's Hannity interview, April 7th, in that interview, he said, we bought 29 million doses of hydroxychloroquine. And he also commented that the virus is now in 182 countries. Our hopes, number 13, and prayers are for President Trump, Vice President Pence, and wise governors in largely COVID-19 unaffected states to begin reopening society and commerce. It's so important because the New World Order plan is to possibly use two things at once. That's the COVID-19 crisis and perhaps a worldwide global economic shutdown in order to implement this kind of tyranny. This tyranny is implemented through making people afraid and dependent on authority. You are not that person. You are listening to the Divided Kingdom radio program, and you know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everything is in God's hands. You know, Lou and I have watched two or three robins for the last 3 or 4 years. In fact, there was a set, we think, of two. And Lou said to me, he knows that at least this one is old. What about its eyes, Lou?
Oh, it has a kind of a gray around the eyes. The
kind of almost
black,
like a white rim, sort
yeah,
of,
yeah, the original
it?
Black, just like a human being, has grown gray with old age.
Yes, and so we always wonder, will it live another year? Will it come back? And when we were amidst these concerns today preparing this program, I looked out, and there it was, sitting expectantly, because I used to throw it bread for a couple years, and it was sitting right near the steps very expectantly. And I said, that is a little omen. You see, Easter will still happen. It doesn't matter whether you're walking into the grocery store trying to stay 12 feet away from someone. You know that what Craig Roberts, the author of The Sniper at Dealey Plaza, and so many other things that he has authored and written and done for the sake of his country. But he told the story that when he was going to Vietnam, he was down somewhere, maybe in the Ozarks, anyway, way down in the mountain country in the south, and his granddaddy was sitting on the porch, and he says, son, I know you might be concerned whether you'll come back. He says, but the Lord will not take you home till he is ready for you. So, you know, quell any of your fears. Put your faith in Jesus Christ, because he is real. He is definitely real, and he will help you. And we pray again for our country, for our good leaders who love America, and we pray that the evil will be foiled. May Jesus Christ bless every one of you over this Easter time, and may resurrection come in your lives. Good night.